The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Well, you picked a really fun Sunday to be at church. Can you tell? Are you having fun? Okay, I'm having more fun than you are, apparently. You picked a really fun Sunday to be at church. There we go. That was a little bit better. So welcome to Friend Day. We do this every year on Super Bowl Sunday. We encourage you to wear your jerseys. We don't care what sport it is. We don't care what team it is. By the way, do you like our Harvest jerseys? The staff? We decided to just go for Team Jesus, all right? None of us cared we don't even know who's playing, but so we just got Harvest jerseys made, all right? So welcome to Friend Day. We're excited that you are here today. We're in a series right now called Addicted to Busy, and the idea is that we live in a culture that is so fast-paced, so chaotic, that I think without knowing it, we become addicted to being busy. And I have some proof for you today. I have some items with me. How many of you have seen the fidget cube? Has anyone seen? So this is a fidget cube. I had to get my own just for this series. All right. I didn't have one before. I felt left out. And so the fidget cube on all the sides, it has a different like little buttons to push and doodads to. And so it's meant like you can keep it in your pocket and then you're in a meeting, or a conference or a Sunday sermon and your mind begins to wander because you're not busy at that moment, and you can get this out and you can fidget with it, and supposedly, you know, it engages your brain and you're able to pay more attention. I don't know if it's true or not. That's how they sell, you know, millions of these. And so I have a fidget cube to give away. Robert, Pastor Robert, I'm going to give this to you because I feel like all of these girls, they've got to stress you out on some level. You have a tool now, okay? You have a tool that will help you. I got a Christmas present from my mother-in-law. All right, I got to show you my Christmas. I've been waiting since Christmas, okay, so to show you. So this is my glowing flying ball. All right, check this sucker out, all right? I'm hoping it doesn't end up in the baptism tank, all right? Oh, my goodness, check this out, right? This literally has no purpose other than keeping me busy. So I keep it in my office, and if I'm ever on the phone counseling you and you hear a weird noise, this is what I'm doing. All right? Whoa, there we go. Calm down. My dog, you should see my dog with that. It's pretty awesome. Here's my last proof that we are addicted to busy. How many of you have seen one of these? This is called a fidget spinner. All right? So, I have some fidget spinners for you today. Does anyone want a fidget spinner? All right, so our hospitality team is going to come through. We have fidget spinners to give away. It's kind of like one per family. I don't even know how many we have left. We're just giving fidget spinners away. All right, so when you get the fidget spinner, go ahead and just open it. Just open the package, all right, and then just get it out. And you just feel the gyroscopic, what did you call it? Force. Patty called it the gyroscopic force of the fidget spinner, right? The hospitality team's moving, all right? You're not going to be left out. We've got a bunch of colors. Mine is glow in the dark, all right? Now these things are, these are a weird phenomenon that prove how addicted we are to busy, right? They come in all kinds of colors. They make them in metal. They make them in plastic. I saw one this week online for $1,000. Can you imagine? Listen to me. I will slap you if you buy $1,000 fidget spinner, all right? Especially if you haven't tithed, all right? I'm just telling you, all right? These things, would you believe it if I told you that the last estimate I read is that we as Americans bought 50 million of these? Is that ridiculous? This is our addiction to busy, all right? Is that we need something to keep us busy when we are not busy, right? We're addicted to busy. They're still passing them out, all right? So I feel like we should do like an all spin. So go ahead and get your fidget spinners out, all right? Don't say we never gave you anything, and just go ahead and spin it for me and just hold it up in the air. Oh, do you feel your stress just coming down? Do you feel it? I don't, but All right, so while we're doing this, I'm going to invite all of our life group leaders to come to the stage. And I wanted to do something fun to promote our life groups. They're launching this week. And so they all made signs like that as if they're at the big game. All right, they're promoting their life groups. So if you haven't picked a life group yet, okay, this is going to help you put a face with the title of a group. All right, so we have some amazing life groups happening. And we have some amazing signs that were also made. Here, I'm going to get out of the way. Someone's going to get a picture of this. All right, so these are all of our life groups that are happening. What is glued to yours? Sweet cream butter. If you like sweet cream butter, you can go to Kendra's group. All right, there's a promise in that somehow. All right, so we're gonna have some fun with our life group leaders this morning. All right, so y'all go ahead and put your signs down. If you don't have a fidget spinner, just pass this, and we're gonna do a quick little game with the fidget spinners. You can try this at home later because I already gave you one. So they're gonna pair up, and the game is where did mine go? They have to spin the fidget spinner and toss it to their partner, and their partner has to catch it while it's still spinning, okay? It's possible. I've done it twice in my life. Hours. Ava and I spent hours trying to do this, and we got it, and we captured it on video, so there's proof. It really did happen. They weren't able to get it in first service. How many of you believe they might be able to get it in second service? I mean, it's a known fact that there's a higher level anointing at 11 a.m. Am I right? All right? So we're going to give these guys about, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds, and they're going to try their very best to catch one. I made a promise if they got it, I'll buy them a Chick-fil-A gift card. All right. Patty had to go recruit a partner. All right. Don't let it go in the baptism tank. All right. He caught it, but it didn't stay spinning. All right. So I'm not buying him Chick-fil-A. All right. You gotta keep it spinning. Nanette's not even trying. Nanette is not even trying. All right, we've got a strategy over here. One on stage, one off stage. It's harder than it looks. You're gonna have to try this at home. All right, we're gonna give you 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds. All right, you get one or two more tries. You gotta catch it while it's spinning. Was it spinning? It was kind of spinning. We're gonna go to the instant replay. All right, give all of our life group leaders a hand. Give them a hand. Way to go, guys. We're gonna check the replay on Nick and LaDon, and we'll let you know later if they made the cut. Chances are, Nick and I both like Chick-fil-A. We're probably gonna go anyway. So there we go. There we go. So as a culture, this is my proof to you that as a culture, we are addicted to busy. In week one of the series, I made this claim, and I'll stand by it today, that most of our problems stem from the fact that we are simply moving too fast for too long, that we're too busy, that there's not margin in our lives. And because of that, I mean, it affects every area. It affects our finances. It affects our spiritual lives. It affects our marriages, our jobs, our friendships. It affects every area of our life when we move too fast for too long. And here's what I know about too busy is when you're too busy, it is stressful. Am I right? Stressful. Stress is introduced into your life when you're trying to maintain that pace. Stress comes into your heart because you're trying to keep it all together, right? Think of the imagery, the words that we use, right? It's like, I got to keep all the balls in the air, right? How stressful is that? What if I drop a ball? I got to keep all the plates spinning, right? It's so stressful. Now consider how different this offer is that Jesus made us. In Matthew chapter 11, he said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." What a promise. I mean, how incredible to live this different rhythm where you can actually rest. By the way, I've been encouraging you, and a lot of you have been doing this. I've been telling you on Sundays, go home and take a nap, right? And I love this. Now, I have to say, okay, when I taught on tithing, no one was texting me Sunday afternoon, "Pastor, I paid my tithe," right? But I, all of a sudden, I've been telling you to take naps. And I get messages like this. My friend Anthony sent me a picture of him sleeping on the bed, and he says, "Doer of the word." And I respond, I said, "You are a good disciple, Dilly Dilly," right? Good disciple, Anthony. And then Janelle sent me this picture of her sweet little one, and it says, "It's never too early to follow your pastor's advice." And last week, if you weren't here, we created a brand new hashtag, never before seen on social media, hashtag Sabbathing, all right? We make up words. We took Sabbath, and we have figured out how to Sabbathing. We Sabbathing by taking naps, by resting, right? By finding this new rhythm. And I love this, because how different the lives that we live to this rhythm that Jesus promised us. "Come to me and I'll give you rest." Think about stress for just a moment. Stress steals you of your peace, right? It's almost impossible for you to have peace in your life when your heart is consumed with the stress of the circumstances around you. Stress will rob you of your joy. It's difficult to live a life with the joy of the Lord when your heart is consumed by stress. Stress steals your ability to worship God. Think about it. When you are stressed, you are consumed with that circumstance. When you're stressed, all you think about is that thing, that the illness, the bill, the problem, the issue. I'm just telling you, it's hard to worship God when your heart is overcome and overwhelmed with the stress of life. So how do we break this cycle? How do we de-stress our lives? Well, Philippians chapter 4 says this. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And watch this. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What if we could live this way? What if we could live a life where nothing made us anxious, right? So quick check. How many of you have been stressed out at least one time in your life? Anyone? Oh man, you bunch of stressed people, right? No, I have too. We've all been stressed, right? So how do we break this cycle? Well, first of all, can we agree that not all stress is the same, right? So there's something in our culture today that I'll just call first world stress, okay? First world. So here's some examples. First world stress is my internet isn't working, right? Total first world stress. Am I right? I mean, when the Wi-Fi goes down, panic, you know, just comes into your heart, right? But let's just be honest. In the scope of all that's happening in the world, this is a first world stress. You will survive without internet for a little while, right? I mean, technically, you could survive the rest of your life without it, right? This is a first world stress. Here's one, and it hits close to home. It hits close to home. First world stress. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. What do you do? Right? I mean, don't you desire it more on Sundays? Right? I don't know why. There's something about it. And I'm just telling you, it's heartbreaking, right? I mean, I love what they're standing for, but they're breaking our hearts, right? First world stress. How about this? This is going to happen at tonight's Super Bowl parties. When you run out of chip before you run out of dip. I mean, what do you do, right? When the ratio of chip to dip is not right. Right? Because either you have a chip hog or a dip hog, right, at the party. Someone tonight is going to overdo it on the dip, and you're going to end up with more chip than you have dip, and your heart is just going to, just anxious, stress. But let's put it in perspective. First world stress, right? First world stress. What about this one? Your phone dies, and you have nowhere to charge it. right? What? Oh my goodness, what do you do? What do you do? I travel quite a bit, and so I've learned I carry charger, I carry a backup charger, I carry a battery. Like, I'm prepared, right? But it's fun for me to be in an airport and watch someone who is ill-prepared for this situation. I mean, they are running all over the airport. They spend $60, you know, for a charger because they, I mean, it's just first world stress, right? I have one final one. How about this? I have nothing to eat. As you look into a refrigerator full of groceries, right? Now I identify with this one, okay? When Lisa goes out of town, this happens to me. I look in the fridge, it's fully stocked. But men, maybe I don't know if it's just me. I look at it and I go, I don't know what to do with this. I can't make this into food. Right? I need items that require no putting together. Right? I just warm it and eat. So we go to Chick-fil-A, unless it's Sunday, right? That's what happens in my home. But see, all of this is first world stress. This isn't what we're talking about today. We're talking about those situations that are beyond your control, that like really bring stress into your life. Now I do know that we all handle it differently. You know, one thing will stress you out that won't stress me out. One thing will stress you out that won't stress your spouse out. Some of you have a higher tolerance to stress. You carry it better. Some of you, you know, these items that I just brought up, I mean, you're like, you're stressed out hearing me talk about it. Like, calm down, all right? Just calm down today. We all handle it different. But there's this, but we all know the feeling, the anxiety, the worry, right? But there's another rhythm that's available to us today. At the beginning of this year, I was personally working through some things that had my stress level elevated. And one morning, as I was in my personal prayer time, I journaled this is what I wrote. I said, Lord, lately I felt overwhelmed and stressed, and I'm tired of it. Have you ever been there? I'm overwhelmed and I'm stressed and I am tired of it. And I prayed this. I said, Lord, I know you're teaching me a different rhythm, but it can't come fast enough. Some of you might be there today. The situation is stressful and you've been hearing me talk about this rhythm, but you're like, but I don't know how to get there. It can't come fast enough. See, here's what you need to know today is that godly people feel stressed too. See, the promise is not this. The promise is not, you know, come to me and I will eliminate all of your stress. Right? It's not come to me, follow me, and stress disappears. It's not that. But what it is, but I will help you know how to handle it. I will help you carry the burden, right? I have a different rhythm, a different way of doing it, a different yoke that I want to put on you. And so today I want to help you with how to handle stress when it comes, because it will come. So we see two different men in the Bible today that face stress, and they handle it very different. One of them had a complete meltdown. One of them did not handle stress well. And the other person, the other character we'll look at, he handled it very well. So I want to give you two perspectives from the Bible. The first one is is Elijah. We read about Elijah in the Old Testament, and we find a story about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is what it says. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. So the context is that Elijah had went with a sword and wiped out Jezebel's people. Okay? He had went and killed them. And this is what Jezebel, so she sends a message, and here's what the message says. So Jezebel sent a messenger to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left the servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. How many of you would agree this would be a stressful situation? The message comes to him, and it's this. I am coming for you, Elijah. By the end of the day tomorrow, so help me God, you will be dead, right? that would be stressful, right? He's like, no wonder he headed for the hills, right? No wonder he took off, right? And so he runs for his life, and here's what we're going to see in the next few verses. He has a complete meltdown. He gets out into the wilderness, and it says this. It says, he came to a broom bush. He sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. He prays this, I have had enough, Lord. Anyone felt like that? I've had enough. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Now, church, listen, I hope that your stress never takes you to this place. I hope that you never get to the place where you are praying prayers like this. I don't want to live any longer. Just, I'm going to go to sleep and I hope that I never wake up. But listen, I know that some of you will get to that place. And so I want you to hear these words. You serve a God that loves you more than you will ever be able to comprehend. I want you to know this. And besides that, you are part of a church that is willing to walk with you through any and all situations. We may not be able to fix them overnight, but I'm just telling you, you are not alone. See, that's one of the lies that stress brings into your life is you're all alone in this. This is why Elijah, notice, he got alone, right? He went off in the wilderness and he hid up under a tree. And while he's wallowing in his own, misery there, oh, Jezebel's going to kill me. I just want to die. Listen, most of the time when you are in that place, the worst thing you can do is go get alone. Because alone, your mind begins to just take over and it begins to make the situation worse than it really is. So I just want you to know, church, I want you to know, if you find yourself in that place, you need to reach out for help. I didn't plan it this way, but this is a good segue. All right. This is why you need to be in a life group. Okay. Our life group leaders are better life group leaders than they are our fidget spinner tossers. I promise you. Okay. These are men and women that you can call on in your time of need. That group will be a group that will be there for you when the stress is introduced to your life. And what you need to do is you need to reach out for help. We are here for you. Message received? All right. All at once, an angel touched him. This is what happens. He's sleeping under a tree. All at once, an angel touches him and says, "Get up and eat." He looked around and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. I got to pause here. How awesome would this be if today, at the end of your Sunday nap, which you are going to do, right? You woke up and on your bedside table, there was a fresh baked hot loaf of Texas Roadhouse rolls with honey butter. Come on. Did anyone feel the Holy Spirit come into the room just now? Honey butter, come on. I talked about this in early service, and in the middle of worship, my parents were here in early service. In the middle of worship, my mom texted me a picture of my dad stuffing a roll into his mouth with honey butter. I'm like, you are wrong. I'm still at church. This is not okay, right? Power of suggestion. And this is what happens, right? Elijah, he's sleeping there, and the angel wakes him up, and he's like, dude, you need to eat. I flew to Texas Roadhouse and I brought you some baked bread and some honey butter and you need to eat, okay? And so he eats and he drinks and he goes back to sleep. And the angel comes back. He's like, Elijah, dude, get up. Come on. You need to eat some more. The journey is too much for you. So he gets up and he eats and he drinks. And then it says, strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he goes into a cave to spend the night. And there, the word of the Lord comes to him. What are you doing, Elijah? So I want to get really practical, okay? I want you to notice what the angel's advice was to Elijah, who is in the middle of a stressful situation. His advice was, get up and go eat. Some of you, this is what you need to hear today, okay? Is in the middle of your stressful situation, our tendency is to make unhealthy personal decisions. We either eat too much or we stop eating, right? Depending on how you're wired, all right? Some of you, when you get stressed, you gorge. And some of you stop altogether. Here's another one. Some of you sleep too much, and others of you don't sleep enough, right? Stressful situations, if you're not careful, they cause you to make unhealthy personal decisions. And listen to me, church. When you're making unhealthy personal decisions, it exasperates the situation. It makes the stress level increase. You are unable to deal with it on a healthy level because you are not taking care of yourself. So I'm telling you as your pastor, okay? And I feel pretty confident about this because an angel said it, right? What some of you need to do this week concerning your stressful situation is you need to make healthy personal decisions. You need to eat properly. You need to exercise enough, right? You need to get enough rest. Don't go to the extremes, right? You need to find healthy middle ground. I'll help you with this too. There's a counseling acronym called HALT. H-A-L-T. HALT. And it stands for this. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Church, listen. When you are hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, you do not make good decisions. Okay? Don't make big life decisions when you are hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Here's the good news about those four. When you're feeling one of those, okay, when you are hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you need to halt. You need to stop, and you need to fix that, okay? And they're all really fixable. Take a nap. Eat good lunch, exercise, call a friend, go to church, right? You can turn those around, and now your mind is in a better place to make a decision about the stressful situation that you are facing. And then, okay, so the angel's like, get up and eat. And then he hears the whisper of God. He's in a cave. He's running for his life, and he hears the whisper of God. See, here's the interesting part. God steps into Elijah's stressful situation. But let me help you. The easiest voice to hear in the middle of your stressful situation is the stressful situation, because it's the loudest voice. And what Elijah needed to do was to get away from the voice of Jezebel, which was, I'm going to kill you, right? I'm coming after you. He had to quiet the voice of Jezebel in order to hear the whisper of God. And I'm just telling you, there's nothing like the whisper of God to turn your stressful situation, to know that he is with you. But church, listen, you are going to have to fight to hear the voice of God in the middle of the stressful situation. Often, in the middle of stress, the question is this, where is God? Let me just tell, I'll help you. He is in the middle of your stressful situation, but you are often unable to hear him because the stressful voice is louder than God's voice, and you are going to have to fight to get into the presence of God, to listen, to push out the other voices. And when you hear the voice of God, it will put your stressful situation into perspective. Here's the second character. So Elijah had a meltdown. Paul, we'll look at the Apostle Paul for a minute. Paul has a stand strong. He stands strong in the face of stress. In Acts 27, Paul finds himself in a stressful situation, okay? For starters, he is a prisoner. He's been taken captive because he was preaching the gospel. He was arrested. And he's being transported by ship. They put him on a ship with some other prisoners, and they're sending him off to prison. And along comes a storm. Now, isn't this just like life? To kick you while you're down, right? He's a prisoner. He's stuck on a ship. But along comes this storm. And it's not just any storm. This is a super storm. Acts 27 describes it like this. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a northeaster swept down from the island, and the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. Watch this. So we gave way to it, and we were driven along. I don't know if there's a better description for stressful situations than this, is that you are fighting, you're going upwind, upstream, you're fighting the stressful situation, but sometimes it becomes like this. We just give up, and it's like the storm is too big, the stress is too big, and we allow it to just shift the course of our lives, and all of a sudden the stress is now driving us along. And I'm just telling you, some of you've been there. The stress is so big. It's so overwhelming that you know you've lost control. And all of a sudden, it begins to dictate the course of your life. And Paul's on this ship, and they're just being blown along by this storm. And it says this. And this is how bad it is. It says, they passed ropes under the ship to hold itself together. Can you imagine this? Okay, I've been on some boats in my life, all right? And I would not be confident if the captain of the boat goes, hey guys, I have a great idea. Let's tie the boat together with rope to hold it together. I'd be looking for a new boat and a new captain, right? I mean, they're pulling ropes under and they're tying the boat together. Is this crazy to anyone else? They're tying the boat together. And watch this. It says, they're afraid they would run aground. So they lowered the sea anchor and they let the ship be driven along. I mean, they have dropped anchor and the anchor is not holding. It is driving them along. We took such violent battering from the storm that the next day we began to throw the cargo overboard. Do you see them losing hope? Right? I mean, they're literally throwing the cargo overboard. They're trying everything in their power to regain control in this storm. On the third day, it says they threw the ship's tackle overboard. And then watch this. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued to rage, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Stressful, right? Days have gone by. They don't know if it's night or day. They haven't seen the sun. They haven't seen the moon. They're throwing things over. I mean, this is the epitome, and they've given up hope of being saved. Some of you have been there. Your stressful situation has lasted so long that you've got to a place that you're like, oh well, whatever happens, happens. There's no hope for me. And watch what Paul does. Paul stands up before them and he says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage. What words in the middle of a storm. And listen, the storm hasn't stopped. The storm is still raging, right? Like, I picture Paul, you know, on the bow of the boat, and the waves are tossing, and the wind is blowing, and the rain is blowing in his face, right? And I just picture him like a pirate up on the bow of the boat. He's got his raincoat on, and I think it'd be better if he had an eye patch on. We don't know that from Acts 27, but he's up there on the boat, and he's holding onto the rail, and he's like, is that all you got? You know, he's screaming the storm, you know, and he's telling the guys on the ship, he's like, stand with me in courage. And listen to me, there's no reason for that. There's no good reason to be courageous right now. They haven't seen the sun in days. The waves are not getting smaller, they're getting bigger. The storm is not dying down. And here's crazy Paul, right? Like, come on, we can do this. Come on, men, be courageous. I mean, if I'm on the boat, I'm like, let's throw Paul overboard next, right? Like, what in the world? And watch, he says this, he says, not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Again, not a lot of confidence, Paul. How are we going to survive and the ship? No, this doesn't make sense, right? How does he know this? Watch. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. Do not be afraid. He heard the voice of God in the middle of the storm. I'm telling you, it's there, but you got to fight for it. You got to look for it. You got to listen for the voice of God. And Paul exhibits great faith, great faith. And you keep reading, and Paul has the same bit of practical advice that the angel had for Elijah. Paul says to the men, he gathers them all up, and he says this, he says, you guys got to eat. Watch this. He says, for the last 14 days, you've been in constant suspense and you've gone without food and you haven't eaten anything. So I urge you, take some food. You need it to survive because not one of you are going to lose even a single hair from your head. How did Paul have this kind of courage? How did he have this kind of faith in the middle of the stress to stand firm? If you remember the verse we read earlier, Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Here's what you need to know, that Paul, the same guy you see in the storm in Acts 27, wrote those words in Philippians chapter 4. It's the same guy. See, he understood something about trusting God. He understood that you can put your trust in a God who will stand with you in the middle of a storm. And I love this about this verse because it tells us this. It says that when we respond like this, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Church, listen. Left unguarded, your heart and your mind will run away from you and it will go to the worst case scenario. My wife is she's in the room, so I'll be careful how I talk about this, but she has a tendency to allow her mind to run away. Some of you will empathize with this, all right? She's not a doctor, all right, medically, but she is googly, all right? She's a Google doctor. If you ever have an illness, you can call my wife and she will Googleize it and she will tell you exactly what's going on, okay? But here's what happens. Here's what happens is it starts with a hangnail. Google, hangnail, you know, third toe on September 4th with a blue moon, right? What does this mean? And Google, you know, my wife will come in and she's like, I mean, this is drastic. I'm trying to paint a picture because some of you have done this. She'll come in, it's like, I'm pretty sure I have cancer. What? Well, I read this one article and the lady had a hangnail and she went to the doctor and her pancreas fell out of her body and it's the cancer. And I'm like, stop Googling. Stop it. Right? But some of you, you get this, right? Left unguarded, your heart will run away from you. Left unguarded, your mind will go to the worst case scenario. But the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. Listen, you can't guard it on your own. You are not strong enough on your own to guard your own heart, to guard your own mind. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is after you. He will lie to you. He will deceive you. He will introduce people in your life. I mean, how many of you have that one friend, right? It's like, hey, my daughter has a cough. And you got that one friend that's like, oh my gosh. My second cousin's neighbor's third unrelated brother's sister, they just had a cough and they died 2 days ago. Shut up and get out of my life, right? I'm just telling you, left unguarded, this is what happens, is the enemy lie. He knows how to get into your heart and into your mind. But the peace of God, which does not make sense, right? Which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. So how do we guard our heart? Well, Paul, he gives us some things here, right? With prayer, with petition, with thanksgiving. Listen, the hardest thing to do in the middle of stress is to be thankful. But I promise you, if you will look for it, you have more to be thankful for than you do have to be stressed out about. I promise you. You just gotta look for it. You know, remember that old song? I remember my grandparents singing it. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, right? You just gotta look for it. You have things to be thankful for. And when you are thankful, it changes your perspective. And here's the last one I'll tell you. How do you guard your heart? You guard your heart with the Word of God. With the Word of God. I'll go back to the beginning of the year. I was stressed out. I was overwhelmed. I began with that prayer. God, I need to figure out this rhythm. It can't come fast enough. And then I just quieted my heart to listen for God's voice. And God began to take me to scriptures. He took me to Psalm 61, verse 2, that says this: "From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And I read that verse, and I said, "Holy Spirit, what are you telling me?" And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, "Our God is stable in an unstable world. He's a rock." And I'm telling you, I read this and I said, my heart is faint. So God, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the stable place in an unstable world. He took me to Isaiah 40, 28. And I love how this one reads. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. He does not grow weary." And I read this verse. I don't know how you read the Bible or how you pray, but I read this verse and I had this conversation. I'm like, "Jason, have you not heard?" I mean, it says it right there, right? Have you not heard? Don't you know? Don't you know, Jason? Our God is an everlasting God. I was right in here. I was praying. I'm like, "Jason, come on. He's an everlasting God. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't grow faint. He's got this. Come on, Jason. Don't you know?" And I had to respond. I was like, "Well, I had forgot about that. You dummy, come on," right? This is like a little back and forth. Worship team, you can join me. John chapter 14, verse 1 says this. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God." How many of you know that in the middle of your stress, it is hard to believe, right? So I read this verse, and I'm like, "Believe, Jason, believe, 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 believe." I'm like talking myself into it. Right? Come on. Don't believe in the middle. Come on, Jace, believe. Don't let your heart be troubled. Psalm 28, verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts and I am helped." Ephesians 6, 10. "Finally be strong, not in your own strength, but in the Lord." Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. You keep reading there and it tells you how. It tells you about the armor of God. And so I walked through and I'm like, "God, I put on the helmet of salvation. I pick up the shield. I put on the breastplate of right." I just walked through the armor of the Lord and it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and His mighty." I'm just telling you. And at the end of this, here's the end. I got to tell you the end of the story. The end of the story is about 45 minutes of me just praying and writing down scriptures and meditating on the Word of God. And here's what I wrote in my journal. I said, "In the last 45 minutes, my list has not gotten shorter." In other words, my circumstances did not change in 45 minutes. All right. So I said, "God, my list has not gotten shorter. Watch this. But my heart has been strengthened, my perspective adjusted, joy replaced fear, trust overcomes anxiety, peace replaces worry, and here's the important part, and I know that you are in control." Let me teach you something real quick about stressful situations. God is after your heart. God is after your heart. In the middle of all of this, what He's after is your heart. Can He fix it, right? Can He overcome? Can He heal? Can He provide? Absolutely. Absolutely. But what God wants to do in the middle of all of this, He wants to capture your heart. He wants you to know that you can trust Him. He wants you to know that He is in control. He wants to get you to a place where you realize you can't do it on your own anymore. And He can step. Because listen, until you get to that place, you will not surrender your heart. This is how we guard our hearts. This is how we guard our hearts. We guard it in prayer and thanksgiving. We get into the Word of God. So, I want to pray for you today. And the question is this. So how will you respond to your stressful situation? It's not will you get stressed, it's when will you get stressed. And when you do, how will you respond? So let me remind you of our theme verse this year. Some of you thought I forgot it, didn't you? Because we usually do it at the beginning. But I didn't forget. I waited. It's all a setup, okay, to remind you of this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, okay? Some of your hearts need to hear this. You've heard it all year so far, but you need to hear it again. Are you ready? God can do anything. You know? Do you know that? Do you? God can. Listen, in the middle of stress, it's hard to believe that. It is. I know it. When the stress is pressing in, When the storm is raging, your heart begins to question, is God really able? God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. There it is again. He's after your heart. He's after your heart. He wants to work deeply inside of you. And I'm just telling you, all the other stuff, all the other situations and the circumstances, what he's after is your heart. So I've come today to ask you, will you surrender your heart to God? I sensed it in the middle of worship, right? I came up, I was like, man, you need to surrender your heart, right? But I'm here to ask you again. Those of you that are stressed out, right? Remember Matthew 11, come to me, weary and burdened. Anyone weary and burdened? And I will give you rest. I've come today to ask you, will you surrender your heart? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I've been praying for you all week long. I've been praying because I know what it feels like to be overwhelmed. I mean, it was just a few weeks ago I was journaling this, all right? I was overwhelmed. I know what it's like. And I want to pray for you because I want to see you walk out of here in freedom that can only be found in surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you to respond. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand? You just say, Pastor, I got stress in my life. Stress that's overwhelming me. Stress that I can't handle this. You're admitting that you cannot handle. That's all you're doing. I got stress that I need some help. I need to surrender my heart. Church, will you just stand with me? Everyone, just stand right where you're at. So I expected this, okay? I expected that a lot of you would respond and say, I have stress. So let me point this out. The lie of the enemy when you're stressed is you're the only one that's going through a troubled time. Okay? So I'm going to show you. We're going to just break that lie to pieces. All right? Because it's a lie from the enemy. And I'm going to ask you to take another step. If you raise your hand, would you join me this morning? Would you move from where you're standing and join me here at the front? Because in doing this, we're defeating the enemy, the lie of the enemy that says that you're alone, that you're the only one that's facing a difficult situation. All right? And we're going to gain strength in numbers. We're going to gain strength in defeating that lie. And listen, you are gaining strength by stepping out in faith and saying, I need rescued so bad, I don't care if my friends see me walk to the front. And here's the reality. That's such a stupid lie because we all know the stress. Every one of us. Like, there's not a... You saw it earlier, right? Every person raised their hand. Every single person in this room understands the stress that life brings. So, church, do me a favor. There's a whole bunch of people up here who have said, I've got stress in my life. Can I get some of you who have some faith to come and to join these? Just put a hand on their shoulder, put an arm around their neck. I want us, we're going to defeat, remember, I said this earlier, so now we got to back it up. You are part of a church that will not allow you to fight the battle alone. Like you, I won't let you, okay? I mean, you know me, honestly, I'm looking for a fight, okay? So I'll go with you. Like I have my sword ready at all times. Let's go. Like, come on, stupid punk face enemy, right? Let's go. Let's do this thing. You want a piece of my friend? You got to come through me. You got to come through the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? We're not going to allow you to go through this battle alone. Church, will you pray with me? Let's pray. Father, Father, we come against stressful situations right now. Impossible, big, difficult situations. We come together right now as an entire church. We press in together and we ask God that the enemy would be defeated today in Jesus' name. God, we ask you to defeat the enemy. Every situation, every circumstance. God, we're here right now to surrender our hearts to you. God, we're here, Lord, to surrender to you to say we can't do it on our own. But with you and with our church family, there is nothing that can come against us. There's nothing that can defeat us. So God, we come to you, God, and we lay these things at your feet. God, we lay them down and we ask you, God, we ask you, Lord, to first of all, work deeply and gently inside of us. We ask you, God, to come into our hearts, into our lives. But God, I'm asking you, Lord, for supernatural activity to be released into every one of these situations. God, you hear the cry of our hearts today. Lord, you hear, Lord, the impossible situations that are being presented to you today. And God, I'm asking you, Lord, to situations. And Lord, we say today, God, you are in control. God, we say today, God can do anything more than we could ever imagine or ask in our wildest dreams. And God, we ask you to stir faith in our hearts right now to believe in a big God. Let's just worship for a moment. Let's let God do his thing.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.